Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Rossi.
All right. Let's switch over to slides here for a second. So I'm Jacob Rossi. I'm a program manager on the platform team that builds the rendering engine. And I thought we'd get a little bit more technical here and take a look at Edge HTML over the last year. So last year when we were here for the Web Summit, we talked about a different strategy to how we would build the rendering engine that would power Microsoft Edge. And we changed our focus to be one that's around two core principles of interoperability and compatibility. Interoperability meaning the browsers should work like other browsers, you should have realized the web's dream of write once, deploy everywhere, and compatibility being a user-centric goal of that content just working and them not having to question whether Edge would be up to the job. We drew a picture, this was an estimate, this was kind of how we visualized in our mind what we thought rendering engines looked like in terms of their cross-section of interoperability. What APIs are common across Edge HTML, MS HTML, Gecko, Blink, WebKit. And so this was kind of what we figured things looked like. We should, you know, Chrome and Safari chase their origins to the same rendering engine, so there's a heavy amount of overlap there and a heavy usage on the mobile web. And Internet Explorer is sitting out here on the edge, is sitting out here, not so much overlapped with the other browsers. There's a bunch of stuff that's proprietary. There's a bunch of stuff that is implemented interoperably in other browsers, but not in Internet Explorer. And so we said, well, it's really simple. We'll just delete the bad stuff and add the good stuff. Ta-da. So this was a rough idea of how we thought we would go about building our rendering engine that would power Edge. So how are we doing? This is one metric, one lens, a feature test, a benchmark, if you will, for HTML5 tests. IE11 is frozen forever in time at 336, and we've made steady gains to now be second in the pack amongst major browsers here, including, these are all nightly builds. So really happy with all the new features that are coming to the Edge HTML platform. But not just that, the pains of being a web developer and targeting Internet Explorer was often those speed bumps that you hit. You know, things like if you put a GIF in Internet Explorer and it just loops infinitely, whoops. We fixed over 8,000 different interoperability issues since Internet Explorer 11. These are all little things where an API throws an exception when it shouldn't, an API is called something else than it is in a different browser, and we're going to keep making these types of fixes to make sure that code that you write just works across browsers. So that graph that I showed earlier was our estimation of what the platform looks like, and now with the API catalog that we released today, we actually can show for real, with real data, what the intersection is across browsers. And if you take a look here, there's IE11, not fully overlapped with Chrome 48, I think is the data I have here. But when Edge shifts in, you can see it moves, overlapping, and you have less outside edges, less proprietary, non-interoperable stuff, more stuff that's shared. This means more of the code that you write just works. This is an actual survey of real APIs, over 7,000 APIs in the Edge HTML platform. And as far as how that translates to users for compatibility, we're seeing awesome gains there as well. We hear anecdotally from folks like yourself about content just working in Edge, which is something we didn't hear a lot in IE, and it's great. Internet Explorer, we would do a rolling test pass of top websites and see how they were compatible. These are real humans actually using these websites, performing scenarios, sending emails, posting tweets, etc. And Internet Explorer, by default, actually would only sit in about the 70th percent compatible with top websites. We'd use a compatibility view shim to try and increase our compatibility and alter our behavior on top sites, and that could get us in the 90s. Edge, without shimming, is sitting well over where Internet Explorer could be, and it's in the same ballpark as where you'd expect with Chrome based on top website compatibility testing. So what have we done in 2016? Charles showed some of our top priorities for as a platform, and I'm going to show you some of the real features that we've been working on. One of the things that's near and dear to us, we said last year that we want the web to just work, and we mean that for all users. So we have made an incredible investment, and we continue to make an incredible investment into an inclusive design approach for, and accessibility APIs, as well as working with partners like third-party assistive technologies. There are some awesome improvements in Edge or on the way in Edge, in high contrast, as the accessibility representation to assistive technologies and ARIA support, as well as new semantic elements like the color picker, a time element, output element. A bunch of these things will translate into real-world accessibility for all users. But it's not just about what we do in the platform that websites can use. We also want to empower you to build content that is inclusive. And one of the new things that will be showing up in preview build soon is a new tool within the F12 developer tools that allows you to inspect the accessibility properties of your page. So this is a screenshot here. And in fact, I actually have a short little demo. If we switch over to the demo machine, we can see, we'll open up the tools here. I have two images, which to sighted folks look identical. To a non-sighted folk, how does this look? So we can flip on the accessibility tree view here. And we can actually see, this is a JS bin, and you can see two nodes in this tree represented. One is distinctly different from the other because it actually is described. And this is, I've missed the, I can actually click on this guy, figure out why does this have a name, and I can find that it's missing its alt attribute, which would provide the name to screen readers and other assistive technologies. So that's a simple demo, but you can learn a whole lot through this tool, and we think we've heard some great things. We've been piloting it with a few partners, and they really think this helps build accessible experiences. So flipping back to the slides, another API that can be used for both accessibility scenarios as others is the speech synthesis API. So in preview builds, we now have support for text-to-speech directly from JavaScript. You can pick your language using a BCP47 identifier. You can select different voices that are installed on the machine, volume, rate. We even support speech synthesis markup language, SSML, that can be passed in. So if I just plug in some audio here, we'll flip to a demo on this side. So here's just a basic test page,
Hey y'all.
I'm from Georgia, so that's my native tongue. But this can be powered to do something cooler like this. This is a breakout game that we've tried to make accessible here.
Starting game.
So hopefully if we have stereo support in this room, I lost. We can hear that the paddle, the relative distance of the paddle actually shifts left to right. So if I come over here, it sounds like we have mono going on, but what you would hear, I'll turn off the sound. What you would hear, and we piloted this with some folks on our team that have lack of sight, there's a shift of the audio and the speed of the audio from left to right using the Web Audio API to give you an indication of how close you are to the ball with the paddle. In addition, we're using the speech synthesis API to actually announce how many blocks are left. And it was really cool to see someone who normally wouldn't be able to play a traditional breakout game actually complete the game. And it's a fun experience to combine these technologies. So if we'll flip back to the slides. Shifting into some other APIs that we've been working on. Fetch. So starting in preview builds, you'll now see support for the Fetch API, which is one of the cornerstones of a suite of specs. If you're familiar with Service Worker, push notifications, cache, this is where we're getting started. This works today, and there are prototypes going on for those other specs I mentioned, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Fetch generalizes network requests and response. It's a promise-based API, builds on top of the native promise support in Chakra. It's a very simple API. I love it. You pass in a URL and an option bag. You can specify whether it's GET, POST. You can change your headers. And you get returns of a promise that'll give you a response object. And then ultimately, this is intended to be used not just for a glorified XML HTTP request, but also within the context of a service worker to start to move into offline experiences, being able to actually manipulate the network requests, serve it from a cache instead of from the network, et cetera. So we're really excited to start seeing that progress. Another network API that we've been working on is Beacon. We see some pretty horrendous things happen in the browser that try to make sure that telemetry gets off to the server. So things like asynchronous XHR as you're starting to navigate the page. I'm gonna essentially hang the browser to make my network request get off before the user can get to the next page. This causes, this is awful for performance, and we wanna give you a better API for this. So Send Beacon is that API. You can pass in a URL and a data package. It can be anything that's stringifiable, like an object or just a simple string, useful for your telemetry. You just fire and forget. The browser takes care of it, and in fact, it can even deprioritize that network request relative to other network requests, like loading the next page. So your telemetry makes it, but the user doesn't see a perf impact. So very cool. Also performance related in Edge HTML, support for WAF 2.0. We support WAF 1.0, and now we're adding support for 2, which adds additional compressibility. It's about 30% savings over WAF 1. Over 60% of the top 1,000 websites are actually using web fonts, so this translates into real savings over the wire. Real performance benefits, especially if you're using East Asian fonts, the compressibility increases. Also new in Edge HTML is support for the Web Notifications API. We've worked directly with our friends in the Windows teams that build the notification and action center experience in Windows 10. So the websites through JavaScript can simply raise notifications in the action center. And this is another piece that sets us up for Service Worker and push notifications to light up later, which we're prototyping. The code is very simple. You can just construct a notification object, pass in some notification text, and even customize an icon, title, et cetera. So rather than just show you a screenshot, let's try a demo. All right. Refresh. This one's not yet in preview build, so you'll see me using a virtual machine here just to give you a quick demo. But so I've got just a simple button that runs that sample code I showed. I'm going to scroll over since my VM's resolution's a little goofy. And press Enter, and we should see a notification pop up directly from the browser. This lights up. You'll see this in later sessions through, for example, Skype for Web, using notifications now to give you alerts about new messages in Skype without an app or a plugin. All right, so flipping back to the slides. Speaking of Skype-like experiences, also, we've been working on real-time communication. In November, we shipped support for the ORTC API, Object RTC, the latest generation of RTC specs at the W3C. And we're pleased to announce that we're actually also adding interoperable support for WebRTC 1.0, the API that's currently supported in Chrome and Firefox. And we'll be adding support for interoperable video and audio through RTC. So this includes VP8 through RTC, H.264 and H.264UC, and Opus Audio. So we also will support VP9 video playback through the video tag. We're working on other specs like high resolution time 2, support for folder drag and drop in addition to regular drag and drop. FIDO 2.0 passwordless API. If you haven't seen this experience, stick around for later talks. We'll show this. The ability to log into a website through biometrics like a facial recognition scan is going to change the web. So what's new in JavaScript? So last year we talked about ES6. It's all the rage. We had support for over 70% in the Chakra engine and Edge. And this year, I think the best news around ES6 is that it's getting interoperable. You can actually start to use these things, lean less on transpilers, and get better performance, and use these features natively, really taking JavaScript into the future. But we're moving past just ES6. ES 2016 and ES 2017 features are showing up in Chakra builds today, including support for async and await, objected entries and value, the exponentiation operator, and array prototype includes. But the biggest news in Chakra was that it went open source. Chakra Core is available on GitHub. It's the same Chakra engine that is included inside of the browser, and we're taking contributions. We have an open roadmap on GitHub. It includes things like what's our plan for cross-platform support and other interesting tidbits, as well as the futures of language support inside of Chakra. One of those projects that comes about as Chakra goes open source is the ability to run Node on top of Chakra. So we've built a shim that allows Chakra Core to project the same APIs as V8 with interoperability. There's a branch available of Node that has this support. And we're already starting to see some cool advantages here. And this is one way of benchmarking it. We're using the TypeScript compiler running on top of Node Chakra versus Node mainline with V8. And you'll see compile times being faster. Lower is better in this chart. Across the board, we're still working on this. This is a chart about the blue line represents baseline perf tests on Node.js. Orange line looks like the first time we had Node Chakra working. And the green line represents some improvements we've made since. So you can see some areas were above baseline performance. Some areas we got some work to do. And we're going to keep working on that to bring an awesome Node experience on top of Chakra and for devices, including IoT. So the biggest news, biggest, most requested feature that everybody's excited about for Edge now is extensions. Extensions are available in preview builds now. We have a carefully selected set. We have a few available for you to try out now. We have more on the way. Adblock, LastPass, Amazon, Evernote, Reddit Enhancement Suite, a whole bunch of these extensions coming. It's based on top of a platform that is designed to be easy to migrate from Chrome extensions. It's a web-based platform, and we're working inside of the W3C Browser Extensibility Community Group to standardize these APIs and build an interoperable extension platform for the browser. There are additional APIs for getting at the browser UI, messaging between different components of your extensions, localization support within extensions so you can globalize things. And there are sessions later today that will cover the details of that, including one extension that we've built for you all called Page Analyzer, which will be available in the Windows Store like all Edge extensions, and allow you to test your site, including accessibility, performance, and interoperability tests. So looking forward, what else are we working on? What should we expect after these things? I mentioned a few of these along the way. We're prototyping Service Worker, push notifications. We continue our work on web components through Shadow DOM and custom elements. We're really excited to be working on standardization around web payments, changing how you pay on the web and making that experience light up like you expect in native apps, as well as the next generation of JavaScript performance moving. We added ASM.js in November, and we have been prototyping WebAssembly. If you check our blog, there's some cool videos of some internal builds that we have where that's starting to work and show some promise, and as well as support for ES modules. All of this plan, All of the work that you see is heavily influenced by you all. Everybody here, y'all, these are the ways to get in touch with us. Dev.microsoftedge.com is our home base for developers, and you'll find access to our blog, User Voice, where you can vote and suggest ideas on what we should build next, Status, where you can see our roadmap, what are we building, what have we not released yet, what are we thinking we'll build next, as well as Issues.Microsoft Edge, which launched today, allowing you to provide feedback through the form of bugs and issue reporting. We've designed that with standards and interoperability tracking built in, and there's some sessions later today that will talk a little bit about that. So with that, we'll turn it over to Clarice, who's going to give you a little bit of a view into the user experience of Microsoft Edge.